James and chapter number 4. Not long ago, we spent a couple of services, morning and evening, on James chapter 3, or at least on the truths presented to us in chapter 3 about the tongue, about speech. And this whole book is a practical book and full of great instruction. We have been here in chapter 4 in the past, and some of the things I'll say to you, if you've been a long-time member of the church, have been said before, but bear repeating again and a reminder. But I recently also preached a series of messages in our church called What Does the Future Hold? And so we looked at what the Bible says, because God declares the end from the beginning, and God let us know what is yet to come. And we spent a long time with that, had a good time in that, and now we're going to talk tonight about facing the future. What is important to remember as I look ahead and face the future? So I'll read the verses first, and then we'll make some comments tonight that I trust the Lord will use to help you. I'd like to read the whole chapter, but for time's sake, we'll not do that. We'll just begin in verse number 13. Verse 13 through 17. Go to now. And that kind of is the equivalent of the Old Testament invitation of the Lord Jesus, or of God who said to his people, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Take some time to think about this. That's the idea of go to now. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's a sobering statement. And when you're young, you can easily pass it by. When you get older, the older you get, the more you understand the truth of that. You know, you say, where did the time go? How can it possibly be this late? How can I be this far down the road? What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. As we begin tonight, let me focus your attention on that little question, what is your life? Now the answer that James gives, it's pretty short-lived. It's pretty quick. It's like a vapor that appears for a moment is gone. But I want to take a moment to challenge you to think about the word life. So however long this vapor is that constitutes your life, my life, let's take the word life and let's notice that, and this would be applicable to every one of us, the word life is four letters. And the middle two letters, the center of the word is if. If. Life is very iffy. That's why James said, if you're boasting about what you're going to do tomorrow and where you're going to go and how long you're going to stay and what you're going to accomplish, all such boasting is foolish. It's vain. Because you don't know what's going to be tomorrow. So if you've got something to do and it's in front of you, go ahead and do it now. Put your hand to it. Life is full of ifs, iffy. So then you know your pastor, I like to take words and use them like an acrostic to try to get some deeper content or meaning. So let me tell you why life is full of ifs. Why your life, why your future and mine is an iffy proposition. Number one, because I'm fallen. Put your name in there. What is your life? It's an iffy proposition because you're fallen. You're a sinner. You have a sin nature, and you can be deceived. You can be led astray. You can make a decision that is not in accord with God's will, which will change your future, which will change what's coming. So life is iffy because I'm fallen. Number two, because I'm finite. I'm finite. I don't have infinite wisdom. I don't have the treasures of knowledge that God has. I'm just a finite person. There are limits to my abilities and limits to my knowledge. And again, that's part of the reason. Part of the reason is because I've fallen. And then thirdly, I would say because I fail. And it's because I'm a fallen being and I'm finite that I fail. And so I may say about tomorrow, I'm going to do this or that, and I'm going to stay for this long or that long. I can make declarations and make determinations. But because I'm fallen and finite and because I fail, that may not be possible. I would also give you three more to think about. On the positive side, those are on the negative side. On the positive side, I don't know what's going to be on tomorrow, but I can remember that I'm found. I'm found. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost, and he found me. I didn't find him, he found me. And I have been found by the shepherd. I have been reconciled to God. And so, secondly, that means I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. So whatever the future holds, whatever I fear about the future, whatever I anticipate in my future, I need to keep in mind that though I'm fallen and finite and I fail, I am forgiven. All of my sin, my failures, my shortcomings have been put under the blood. All of them have been dealt with. And keep that in mind because the devil likes to play tricks with us. And we've been talking the last couple Sunday nights about eternal security. We have been forgiven. And number three, we're favored. I'm favored. I'm favored. I'm not only found, I'm forgiven, but I'm favored. He loves me. He delights in me. He delights to shape me. He delights to work with me. He has a purpose and a plan, and he's given me the indwelling power of his Holy Spirit and given me his word to guide me. So as I face the future, I need to remember on the negative side why life is iffy, and on the positive side, why I don't need to panic because of the iffiness of life. I am found, favored, and forgiven. I'm not done yet. IF, life is uncertain or rather iffy because of intuition failing. Sometimes we have intuitions. We think we've got it figured out, and we have an idea what we want to do, and so we intend to do something, but we fail. Intentions forgotten. Individuals forsaking. There are times in life when those people we counted on and we made our plans for tomorrow because we thought we could count on them, but they forsook us. Individuals forsake. Institutions fail. So again, we're looking at tomorrow and we're making our plans, but we have a job, we have a company, we're dependent to pay our salary, but institutions fail. Governments fail. Banking systems fail. Investments fail. Sometimes life is iffy because instructions are faulty. We've received the wrong counsel, the wrong advice, and it's not true, it's not right. So for a lot of reasons, there's a lot of uncertainty in life. Life is iffy at best. So as you face your future and thinking about the iffiness or the uncertainty of life, there are three simple things that I take from this text that I challenge you as a church with. Number one, don't presume. Don't presume about tomorrow. That's the real point here. Go to now you that say, today or tomorrow, we will. And then delineate what you're going to do. Because you don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. Don't presume upon the future. Now notice the presumption here in verse 13. There's a presumption as to where you're going to be. Today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be there. So we presume upon where we'll be. Number two, we presume upon what we will, how long we'll be there. Today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year. And so we presume on the length of time that we have or that we will be there. And number three, we presume upon what we're going to accomplish. I will buy and sell and get gain. That's presumptuous. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. Be careful about living a life of presumption. What we should do instead is ask the Lord, commit our way to the Lord, and say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now that seems to be a minor adjustment, but it's a very important adjustment. We should approach every day making plans, nothing wrong with making plans, and saying, tomorrow I would intend to be here, I expect to be here, or expect to go there and stay this long and do this, but I'm resting in God's will, and He knows what's best for me. He knows whether that's where I should be or not be, and how long I should be there. If it is the place I should be, how long I should be there, and what will be accomplished when I'm there. I trust the Lord. I leave that in His hands. It'll help you a lot when you're facing your future not to presume, but to rest in the providence and the wisdom of God, your Creator. Number two, don't panic. When you're facing your future and the knowledge that it's very iffy and that because institutions fail, because instructions are faulty, because individuals forsake, because intentions are forgotten, your future's uncertain, don't panic. Once again, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust that the Lord will be there. His mercies are new every morning. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So no matter what else happens, we know He's not going to fail, and His instruction will never be faulty, and He will never forsake us and never forget us. So don't panic. In the Sermon on the Mount, that's basically what Jesus was saying when He said, don't ask yourself, well, what are we going to eat tomorrow? What are we going to wear? Where all those things. He said, the Lord knows, the Father knows that you have need of such things. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Just seek first the kingdom of God, and all those things will be added to you. Don't panic. What are we going to do? Or what if? No, you don't need to do that. Because the Lord knows, and He will provide for His children. Number three, don't presume, don't panic. And He ends this passage by saying, don't procrastinate. Don't procrastinate. You know, procrastination is a form of presumption. We put off doing things because we assume we can do it tomorrow. We'll still have another opportunity. You may never have another opportunity. You may not have resources anymore. The Holy Spirit may not be pressing upon your heart anymore. Don't procrastinate. And so He ends up with verse 17 saying, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know what you ought to do, then you ought to do it today. We're to live daily. Do it now. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. If you know to do good and you don't do it, you put it off, and perhaps it's presumption, perhaps it's panic about the ifs of life. To him, God says it's sin. Knowing to do good and not doing it. That's pretty serious. I don't think we really believe that. I don't think we really operate on that principle. But it's sin to know what God wants you to do and know what you ought to do and not do it. Well, obviously, if you're going to do what you know you ought to do, you have to live by faith. It involves stepping out by faith. Faith does not ignore the ifs of the future. It just recognizes the faithfulness of God, the stability of God. So no matter what happens in your life, the one thing that never changes in your life is God. And so you go forward. Probably the best illustration of going forward, what is in front of you, not putting it off, not panicking, not presuming, is the children of Israel, both at the Red Sea and the Jordan River. And on both occasions, They're supposed to go forward. And on the Jordan River illustration, Joshua's leading them, and the waters don't part until the people obey. When the people make a decision to do what they've been told to do, obey, then when their feet go into the water, those carrying the ark, and they step into the water, then the waters parted, and the children of Israel walk through on dry land. God wants us to go forward. We're waiting for the way to clear up. We're waiting for everything to be just right. And I promise you, if you're waiting for the perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. If you are, according to the book of Ecclesiastes, listening to the weather report and refusing to sow or harvest or whatever because there's clouds in the sky and it might rain or this or that, you're going to be poor. You're going to miss out. You don't do that. You go ahead and do what is in front of you to do. You trust the Lord. So really what we need to do when we face our future is simple. We need to pray, we need to stay, and we need to obey. I want you to look back at the text again. While it doesn't say it in these words, verse 14 does say, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." There's another place in Scripture, "Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Thou knowest not. Do you know how many stories God has recorded in His Word for you and for me to illustrate that principle? To illustrate the principle that as we think about the future and we think about what's ahead of us, we should never presume, we don't need to panic, and we should not procrastinate. You know how many stories He's given us? Let me just take a moment, review a couple with you, and we're done. I'm not going to preach the story to you. I'm sure you're well familiar with most of them. And we could call this, do you understand the difference that one day can make? Just one day. Just one day. So if on the positive side you're presuming, on the negative side you're panicking, wait a minute. Just do what you're supposed to do. Do what's right because you have no idea what difference one day can make. The children of Israel, for 400 years were in bondage. For 400 years were weeping and crying and calling out to God for a deliverer. And one day, God set them free. One day, they were let go. One day, they walked away from their bondage. Joseph was in prison. And one day, he went to bed a prisoner. And the next day, he got a call from the Pharaoh, the ruler of the land, came out of prison, and by the end of that day was promoted to the second position in the land. You know what? How much difference one day can make? Joseph had been 20 years going down this path of trouble and difficulty and sorrow, but he just kept doing what was in front of him to do. He didn't put off his responsibility. He just accepted responsibility. He didn't presume, he didn't panic, he just did what he ought to do. And one day, everything changed. How about Enoch? Enoch walked with God, and one day, he didn't come home. One day, he was not. God took him to heaven. Four lepers, facing an absolutely bleak future, sitting outside the city of Samaria because they're outcasts, not allowed to go in the city. But who wants to go in the city anyway because they're starving to death? They're under siege by the enemy. People are so desperate they are boiling their children and eating them to stay alive. One day they wake up in the same position as ever and lepers, and somebody says, "Hey, why are we sitting here till we die? Let's go forward. Let's do something." And so they took a step forward to go out to the camp of the enemy to ask for mercy. And when they got there, the enemy had fled and left, and all their stuff was there. And in one day, look what God did. And then they accepted their responsibility to go back and tell the city, and the city was saved. One day turned everything around. You know what kind of difference one day can make? You know not what a day may bring forth. Just keep pressing forward. Just keep doing what's right. How about Zacharias and Elizabeth? How many years did they ask God for a child? How long did they long to be parents? And one day, angel visited Zacharias as he ministered in the temple. Said, your wife's going to have a baby. One day changed everything. How about the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus? One day transformed a man from the enemy of the cross to the greatest preacher of Christ, perhaps that the world, certainly that the world in his day ever knew, church planner. On the other side of the coin, those enemies that you face, that you fear, that you wonder how you're going to overcome, that stand in your way, you know not what a day may bring forth. You have no idea. Goliath gets up one morning, used to being the champion, used to being the king of the hill, blaspheming God, making fun of the servants of God, gets up one morning, goes out to do the same thing, has no idea that he just got up for the last time in his life. And that in a matter of hours, his head will be severed from his body and his people will be fleeing before the Israelites. I know it's not what a day may bring forth. God has a champion. God can turn things around. How about Nebuchadnezzar, who enjoys the adulation of the world and who walks about the palace drinking in the sensual pleasures of his kingdom and boasting and delighting in himself and his wisdom. And the next day he is covered with hair and his fingernails have grown like claws and he's turned out to live in the pasture like a wild animal on all fours. One day can change everything. How about the rich fool who said, man, I am rich and increased with goods. I don't have any place to bestow my goods. What shall I do? I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. And then I'll fill them up and I'll say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry. Take thy leisure. And what was the message delivered to him? This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. All that fretting and stewing about all those things, and you might be dead tomorrow. You might be in heaven tomorrow. You might be in the presence of God and the angels tomorrow. And to what end was all that fretting and stewing and worrying and fussing and putting off serving God? How about Samson? A day can change everything. How about Job? One day can change everything. So here's my counsel tonight, church. As you face your future, hang in there and hang on to Him. Hang in there and hang on to God. Don't presume upon your future. Trust in God. Pray. Don't panic. Stay put. Rest in the certainty of God. Stay. And don't procrastinate. Obey. Just do what your hand finds to do. Do what God sets before you. Trust Him. Rest in Him. One day can make all the difference in the world. We sing the song. Usually, and we'll be facing Easter in a couple of weeks. Seems like we only sing it around Easter, although once in a while, in a singspiration, somebody will request the song. One day, one day. One day makes all the difference in the world, and God's in control of the days, isn't He? So let's not panic. Let's not presume. Let's not procrastinate. Let's trust God. Father in heaven,